Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin and helping you maneuver through this flowing dystopia. It's episode number 325 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the Crap Bag presents the latest ramblings of the Scottish guy. At 12:30, talking a little Texas and Texas Tech. In a mere minute, it is our weekly chat with the great Brian Jones of CBS. I'm Trey Elling. Across the glass today is a guy who is known for his NBA acumen, his producing of the morning show, but he is about a whole lot more. Talking sports, talking music, talking pop culture. It is Isaiah Collier. Zay, how's it going today?
Pretty good, Trey. It's Friday.
It is Friday indeed. We do have jobs, so we do have bleep to do. And sitting across from me is the Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings.
You damn right. Hope everybody's having a good Friday. Friday's now, we jump right into things. First off, before we get to Brian Jones of CBS Sports, let's get you a big story out of the NFL with the Spec Set Piece. Here we go.
The Spec Set Piece is brought to you by Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods. The biggest saves of the match start at Specs, official partner of Austin FC. Specs, the fun starts here.
All right, don't know exactly what it means, but we already had one extra playoff game. Now we know we're getting an extra Monday night game. Yes, that's right. The wild card weekend will have two games on Saturday, three games on Sunday, and starting this season, one of those games will be on Monday night. That was announced yesterday for the NFL. Got a big NFL week to get into, and obviously we have a lot of college football to jump into as well.
Boy, we're 5 years away from them doing a Thursday night matchup.
I'm telling you,
wild card weekend.
They are spreading it out. They love their night games. All right, and we always love this conversation on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline, but it ain't just that, because when you talk to Brian Jones, things get fancy and people get haircuts. Here we go.
The Friday Football Conversation with Brian Jones is brought to you by Spot Dash Mobile Haircuts. Cut your hair anytime, anywhere. Download the Spotdash app from the Apple or Google Play stores and order today.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Jones, how are you?
I am doing excellent. I am getting ready to jump on a plane and head back to New York City for your Aggies tomorrow, man. We got your Aggies, as you know, in Arkansas, and I predict it'll be a much different contest than my Longhorns when they went up against the Razorbacks.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, well, I definitely want to get your thoughts on the Southwest Classic, but first let's get your thoughts on 58-0. Longhorns got to cleanse the palate in a big way. What did you make of the win against Rice, and do you think there's really that much you can take from it as a follower of this team?
Well, there are always things you can glean from games, no matter who you're playing. And, of course, they were full of high purpose and determination. And whether it was Rice or anyone else, I think you would have witnessed the same effort. Just looking at the film, still a lot of things to clean up, especially defensively. Offensively, did what you should do to a Rice team. 58 points, that's what happens to Rice when you're a damn good football team. And Texas is still working through a lot of kinks. Even offensively, there's still some things that make you scratch your head up front when you look in terms of the blocking. I will say this, there are a couple guys that popped. I even hung in there and watched the backups play, Chad and Trey. So at 77 and 67, I think at 67 is a senior, but they're nasty. And those guys, that's what I like to see. I like to see guys blocking, you know, 3, 4, 5 yards down the field and trying to plant their entire body weight on defenders. So that mindset stood out watching the film, even though they're backups. Defensively, man, you still have to play physical in the trenches. And you saw that, but it's still not on a consistent basis. But a good game to grow from, and we'll see what happens versus Texas Tech. And, you know, Tech's going to come in and say like they always are bugaboo in Texas aside, whether it's in Lubbock, especially in Lubbock, sometimes in Austin. Unfortunately, I found that out when I was playing there. But, you know, they chunk it around, but they want to run the ball. They're balanced offense. And so we'll see going up against better competition how Texas fares. But I think that was a good – I was a good showing last week and did exactly what you're supposed to do with a team that's less athletic than you are, and they dispatched of them handily.
Were you a little bit more encouraged by the inside linebackers versus Rice versus what we saw against Arkansas, which is a couple of chickens with their heads cut off running around?
A little bit more encouraged is a good way to say it. Still some issues. Locating balls and taking on blockers. I told you guys as many times, I tried that. You just can't run around guys. You can't just, sit there and bump chests with them. You got to strike them. You got to hit those cats, man. I sit there and I watch games, especially when we're on site and you get to be on sidelines with these behemoths. And I'm like, damn, how did I play this game? Because there are some big dudes in the trenches and to be able to at 245, what I played my weight and go and have to slam into those cats for 3 or 4 hours, you just have to make up your mind. And early on, and I would try to run around them, and you just widen the hold and trying to use athleticism and not really striking them is not going to work, especially when you get into the big boy leagues. So still some work. Some improvement, but still some work and a ways to go in that department.
Talking with Brian Jones of CBS Sports. We do it every Friday at this time, brought to you by Spodash Mobile Haircuts. Brian, the Texas Tech schedule so far is not dazzling. The only reason that I watch the game against SFA is so that my wife could keep up with her Lumberjacks. Do you have any sense? Do you have any sense for what Texas Tech really is? Because I feel like there's some Texas fans thinking, oh, this should be a blowout. They barely beat SFA. We'll kill them. And then there's some folks that I think are like, wait a minute, they run the ball a little bit. They feel like they're better, and maybe this could be a dogfight. What's your sense of the Red Raiders?
I watched the FIU game as well, as far as the Tech film, and Texas should beat Texas Tech, but we know the history of that matchup. But they definitely have better athletes. That offensive line for Texas scares me. I mean, they're just so inconsistent. And they're right there with the linebackers, as far as I'm concerned, just too inconsistent. But Tech, they want to chunk it, but I saw them leaning on that run game. I think they're about 50-50 running the rock now, as opposed to just throwing it. And there were some busted coverages in the FIU game that really hurt them. But they put some points on them. I think it was 28 points they had versus Tech. So if they can do that, Texas should be able to score as well, and especially Casey Thompson, the way he moves around and has this propensity to take off if, that first or second read's not there. He has no problem, no issues with tucking it and running it. So that's an extra layer of concern for the Texas Tech defense. So, I think you're right, Chad. You look at that competition, man, and not really seeing them in an intense battle, as this game was a season ago. I still don't know how the hell B. John Robinson got up after that landed on his neck. Yeah. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so scary. So,
that would have decapitated me, Brian.
Right? Oh, yeah. I'm with you, homie. I'd be a headless horseman. This will be the stiffest competition for Tech, and we'll really get to see what Matt Wells and that crew is working with, because they're under the gun this season.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk a little bit about that SEC matchup that y'all are airing tomorrow, BJ. It, in my opinion, is the most exciting matchup, even more so than Notre Dame-Wisconsin right now. Aggies are favored. It's going to be a physical contest. You think A&M is going to fare that much better versus the Longhorns, and what happened to them in Fayetteville 2 weeks ago?
They'll play better defensively. I love DeMarvin Leal and the way they utilize him. Mike Elko, the defensive coordinator, he'll play inside. Nose tackle, they'll slide him to four technique and all the way out to a five and a seven at times. And then you got big old PB in there, 92, So those guys eat up blockers. They're very active and allows those linebackers, Hansford and the gang, to move around. And in the secondary, hell, everybody goes about 6'2", 6'3", back there. So we'll see if K.J. Jefferson can have a passing day such as last week, 366, I believe. Now, that's a misnomer, and I always say this when you talk about these quarterback passing numbers, because, hell, he was throwing little hitch passes, 3-4 yarders, intermediate passes, and guys were taking it to the house. And these passing yardages are like the knuckleball. That knuckleball is a misnomer because you don't actually throw it with your knuckles. You dig those fingernails into it, and then you throw it. So I think we need to change the passing yardage. I know quarterbacks wouldn't go for that, but to give them credit for a guy catching a little swing pass and him taking it 80, 90 yards, I mean, come on. Whatever, though. They're not going to listen to me. So K.J. Jefferson threw the ball well. Of course, they want to be able to run it. They're not going to run for 360 on A&M. I can't see them running for 160 on Texas A&M. I'd be surprised if they're able to do that. Texas A&M gave up some runs. That Broussard kid there at Colorado gave up some runs in that ball game, and they utilized some zone reads, did Colorado. And I can see K.J. Jefferson with his capabilities as a dual threat. I can see Arkansas employing that scheme and those concepts to try to, get these guys fooled on the other side of the ball, considering Colorado had minimal success doing that. And defensively, I like the Arkansas defense, Grant Morgan and Bumper Poole, Hayden Henry, that number 27, who was the backup, because Poole, I think he had to sit out the first half of the Texas game. He did not like Hudson Card too much because he was trying to plant him underneath the turf, man. There was a couple of times there. I was like, damn, go protect your quarterback offensive line because this guy's trying to drill him 27. So they play fierce, and you guys heard me sing the praises of Catalan at safety a bunch, even last year. He's got big leagues written all over him. They'll be fierce. The Aggie defense will be fierce. The Aggies offensive line, they haven't congealed up to this point. I'm sure like Fisher, Coach Fisher would like. Of course, they had a lot of holes to fill up front. And we'll see how they fare against this transfer-laden front of Arkansas. All those guys, two of them are from Missouri, one's from Illinois State, I believe. All those cats are grad transfers. So, and they get after you. It's going to be a hell of a ball game. I'm looking forward to it. It was interesting to find out Aggies have won 9 straight. I wasn't aware of that. They didn't won that many in a row. So it should be fun, but I'm leaning Aggies.
A&M in Arkansas is a 2:30 CBS kick. Brian, I agree with you on offensive line. I've obviously watched the A&M games that maybe people wouldn't have watched, Kent State or, New Mexico. Yep. Specifically the right side of that offensive line, concerning, because they had to move Kenyon Green out to tackle at one point.
Yep.
They're letting dudes get by him a little bit. So the blocking, I'm with you, though. I'm not concerned about the tackling part. The tackling part I feel good about. I have said, as a follower of that team, if they win this game and the defense looks good, I'm willing to let people use that famous nickname. Am I going too far? You're a defensive guy. Are they that good, Brian? Do they deserve that nickname if they get this win?
Man, you got to have a backer out there like Aaron Wallace was bringing the heat back in the day to earn that moniker of the wrecking crew. They're getting close, man. They fly around. Love watching how active they are. They're smart. They communicate well. And going up against this plethora of playmakers in practice that they have on offense, man, you got to give it to Jimbo Fisher. The recruiting, they've hit a lick on the offensive side. Of course, Spiller and then you got Anaya Smith, you got Arshane and Wiedemeyer and Chapman, who's back. And now you add in those young bucks who showed out last week, Demas and Muhammad. Yeah. I mean, they're built like Alabama on the offensive side as far as playmakers are concerned. They can hurt you with any of those guys I just mentioned. So how do you cover up all those guys? And do you have to cover them if the O-line issues continue to persist, as they have in certain moments? You look at the quarterback, Zach Calzada, and he's proven in that Colorado game he can handle the big moments. He threw a perfect pass to Spiller on that wheel route for the winning touchdown. This is a different foe, and they're going to be coming hard and heavy after him. But thus far, he's checked all the boxes. We'll just see if that O-line can can hold up, because they have the playmakers. They have an abundance of those cats.
Notre Dame and Wisconsin clash at Soldier Field in Chicago. BJ, do you have a good feel for this one?
I have zero, confidence. That's the word I'll use now. I have zero confidence in Graham Mertz, the quarterback for Wisconsin.
Wow.
Because he has zero touchdown passes through two games. I don't know how the hell Notre Dame quarterback Jack Cohen lost the gig to him. That's the reason why he transferred. And also, Graham Mertz, if you go back to last season and this year's big ball game, Penn State, the dude's just a 50% passer. He does not show up in those big games. We tried to give him cover by saying, well, he lost all his receivers after first couple of weeks last season, yada, yada, yada. But he's just a guy. If you start getting pressure on him, he's going to wilt. And he's going to make just poor decisions with the ball. That's what you saw in that Penn State tape. He just was rushed, and he would get rid of it. The guy was shell-shocked back there. So I want to see if Notre Dame can get after him. They've got their own issues. You know, they've been playing with fire here these last couple of weeks. And do we really know how good they are? Because, you know, since that overtime versus Florida State, who has looked just terrible, 0-3, Notre Dame hasn't really gone out and put a complete game together. They find ways to win, and that's what you have to do. As one of my yoga instructors here says, you have to bloom where you are. Doing that and getting it done. But I'm going to go with Notre Dame in this ball game, because I just can't believe in Graham Mertz. No touchdown passes whatsoever. I think this Notre Dame defense, and guys, they're learning a new system under Marcus Freeman, who came over from Cincinnati, their new defensive coordinator. So it's taken a while for them to get acclimated to this new concept and schemes. But I'm going to take Notre Dame in this one. Cohn's finding a way to win these ball games, or help win these ball games for Notre Dame. And Tyron Williams at the running back position is elite. So I'm going to go with Notre Dame.
Brian Jones, CBS Sports. He's been blooming where he is since the day I met him. Brian, let's.
I don't know about that. Chad had to give me a talking or two. Every now and then back in the day.
That's just show prep. That's all that was. That was just show prep. That's all that was. Okay.
That was holding me accountable, and I appreciate it, my man.
Hey, in terms of prep, let's talk about conference realignment prep. Were you a little surprised this week that the SEC threw out the 2022 schedule without Texas and Oklahoma on it? I'm still waiting for all these lawyers to get things figured out and get everybody in the right place in 2022. Were you a little surprised? The conference went ahead and said, no, this is what we're doing next year.
Well, listen, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans until we get to 2022. And you saw how much upheaval we had prior to getting the 21 season off to a start. So, that's the regular protocols there. We want to get this stuff out. It doesn't mean anything at this point, because they can always make adjustments, especially with the type of money they're going to be throwing around. Adjustments are no problem. So I didn't make much of it, and we'll see if it holds true, but I wouldn't be surprised. 2022 may occur as scheduled, but 2023 is the one I really have my eye on.
Gotcha. All right, Brian, before we let you go, back to Texas and Texas Tech. A, tell us what you think is going to happen in the game tomorrow morning. And then B, do you want Texas and Texas Tech to keep playing every year, even when they're not in the same conference?
Those guys really think Texas is their rival. Texas Tech is hilarious. They are. I don't care. Make them a non-conference, but every year, no.
Okay.
For what? Why? What's the benefit of that?
Yeah, include them in the rotation with Rice, UTEP, and UT Rio Grande Valley.
That is so cold.
There you go.
So cold.
He said Rio Grande Valley. Damn.
Yeah, he went RG.
Damn, Red Raiders.
That is rough.
That is harsh there, man.
Golly.
Listen, you guys know that's my hometown. Grew up going to those games, had a blast sitting in the grass section there and jumping on the field and retrieving sweaty wristbands from the players and then marching with the band back to their band hall. Those are some of my fondest memories, man. But no, if they get better, and more competitive, then, yeah, you may want to revisit it. But going to the SEC is going to be tough enough. So you're going to see some mushers on the schedule, as Bama had a couple of weeks ago, and they have Southern Miss this week. So, no, Tech, you're going to have to look elsewhere.
You're saying if Texas doesn't have Western Carolina on the speed dial, they're going to get there fast?
Right.
Yeah. So they winning tomorrow. Exactly. Are they winning tomorrow, Brian, 1-0 in conference for Texas?
I think they win. Okay. As I said 2 weeks ago, guys, after what transpired in Vietnam, that can help you. Now you have an idea of tempo. And speaking of that, go back to our game last week, Alabama and Florida, and Gary Danielson made an astute observation. He mentioned how it took Florida a couple quarters after opening with FAU and USF. It took them a couple quarters to get acclimated to that Alabama speed.
Yeah.
It's just a different tempo against opponents like that, and that's what that's why it took such a while for Florida to get going. And to their credit, they did, almost turning a cockroach into a butterfly, losing by two there. But Texas has to hang on to what they experienced there in Arkansas. Hang on to that tempo, that physicality. Hang on to that. Now you have a sense and hopefully an appreciation of what it takes to win week in, week out, and what you need to bring to the table. That's the key. And if they have done that, they win tomorrow.
That is Brian Jones. Check him out on CBS Sports. He will look clean cut thanks to Spadash. I'll tell you more about that in a second. He will look sharp because of those suits. And we'll see how the Aggies and the Hogs play in the Southwest Classic. Brian, we always appreciate it, man. Have a good week. Enjoy the games. Travel safe.
Hullabaloo, connect, hullabaloo, connect, welcome.
Wow,
Brian.
The first person that's ever put those phrases together, Brian Jones, ladies and gentlemen, and it is brought to you by the good folks at Spa-Mobile Haircuts. Speedy, safe, and stylish. Visit spa-.com or download the Spa-Dash app now. Lots more coming, including a little NFL. Will the wild card weekend really include Monday night football? Plus, the Texans started the weekend with, well, kind of what you thought, but how about the undefeated Panthers? We'll dig into some pro football. Coming up at 1, we get our first of two degenerates for you. We are double the degenerates on Fridays. Brandon Lang comes up at 105, and our man Sammy P at 205. So if you want to lay some scratch down on the game, they'll give you some ideas. Stay with us. It's The Horn.
Shirts and skins.
Wake me up with laughter. Wrap me in your arms. This ain't no morning laughter. It's never been so warm. It didn't take so long for us to feel this way.
Isaiah Collier producing today, taking us back, likes to give us challenges. Especially on the female side of things. Either Patti Smyth or Scandal.
Sheena Easton.
This is Hart. So if any of those
Damn
women
it.
Are in that group,
oh,
then
no.
Sure.
Good job. You're right. You're right. My bad. Totally my bad. My apologies to Ann Wilson. I should have ID'd that one. Dead gummit.
Wilson.
Damn it. You went deep category Hart. My wife is going to be so disappointed I missed that one. Now that falls right into your groove of cool, spooky white chicks.
Had to.
Ann Wilson, and she still has those pipes, from what I understand. People that have seen them live in the last few years, she still can wail. She's one of the best voices in rock and roll, man. She's awesome.
That's not hard. Who does Barracuda?
That's Art. That's her.
No, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good groove.
That great riff.
Yeah.
Hart back in the day.
Barracuda.
Made the run through the 80s with some good stuff. All right, Isaiah producing today. That always produces some interesting musical conversations. We also have a rare golf conversation in September because the Ryder Cup is going on. We'll keep you updated. USA off to a good start. 3-1 in the matches so far, including a victory over Poulter and McIlroy. We'll see if that matters. They're just getting the second round matches out there. This will be the four ball where everybody plays their own ball. This morning they were doing the alternate shot. So Mr. Scheffler, for you Longhorn fans, is out there with Bryson DeChambeau teamed up. Dustin Johnson and Schauffele are a team. English and Finau are a team. And Cantlay and Justin Thomas are going out for the U.S. We'll keep you up to date on that. We just talked college football with Brian Jones of CBS Sports. Trey, last night the NFL week started with, I think, what everybody thought we would see. Carolina gets a win, stays undefeated. The problem was the losses in the win.
Yeah.
They win at 24-9.
That's a bummer.
And we all know who their biggest freak is. If you say, who's the one guy you don't want him to lose? Well, that's
Sam Darnold.
That's CMC.
Oh, yeah.
Christian McCaffrey with a hamstring had to leave the game. They're going to check on him and see how he's doing. The other one is J.C. Horn.
Yeah, and that looks pretty serious, too. Pro Football Doc initially said ruptured Achilles. I saw some reports that it may be a Lisfranc injury or a broken bone in his foot.
I was going to say, I saw broken foot.
Okay, broken foot is better than Achilles injury, but it's still not good for a guy who relies on his speed and his ability to move around, like, of course, what is required at the cornerback position. You never want to lose your first-round pick. Just a couple games into his very first year with your team.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there. When I was watching, because it's out in the middle of nowhere like that, nobody's there, non-contact, the Achilles is the first thing I thought of. Yeah. But then when I heard broken foot, I thought, oh, that's perfect, and hope it's a clean break.
Yeah.
Like, hope it's a good clean break, because that's way better in terms of the recovery.
Yeah, you always worry about broken feet, though. Sometimes those things don't really heal up all the way. Like, you see that
big
guys, especially in the NBA, that once they start suffering those foot injuries, Zay's nodding in the producer's booth right now, they're never right again. And that does happen in other sports, too. It's just in basketball, it seems to be the most pronounced.
Yeah, I was going to say, Isaiah knows, man, basketball is one of the weirdest. We've seen feet end a lot of stuff, but man, Zay, basketball is where it can really get you. No matter what the talent is, man, if the pins go, you may be done.
Yao Ming could have been one of the greatest centers of all time.
Yeah.
And if he didn't have those foot problems that he did in Houston, who knows what could have been. Like, he gave Shaq problems during Shaq's hey.
He's who I think about first and foremost. And by the way, maybe it does relate to the broken foot thing in basketball. Basketball players, because of how hard sneakers and cutting back and forth on that hardwood is on their feet, have the ugliest feet in sports.
Right, the most gnarly feet. Isaiah's raising
bad feet?
His hand.
Never look at my feet, ever.
He's got straight up hammer toes or what?
Oh, I wear socks and sandals, always.
We'll have nightmares always. If we see your feet?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
The one I always think of, too, from way back, for us way back, is Bill Walton. Bill Walton had some serious foot issues.
That's true.
Another guy, not as big a name, but remember... I always think of him in feet. Zydrunas Ilgauskas in Cleveland.
Yep.
They called him Chicken Feet.
Yeah.
Like, they had a name for him. It was so bad. But that dude had some big-time foot issues. Isn't that the Greg Oden thing? Was Oden's feet, or was it something else?
Feet, drinking. There were a few things going on with Greg Oden.
Come on now. I didn't mean to put that out there.
He's talked about it.
So broken foot is what they think it is for J.C. Horn. I thought the Texans, just like in week two, I guess it was, against Cleveland, I thought they put up a decent fight for a while. And a couple times I questioned them. I'd have gone for that fourth down on, what was it, the 30, when it was 7-6? And I know what the logic is there, but man, to me, you got to keep throwing stuff. And I would have gone for it on that fourth. There's another punt where I would have gone for it anyway. It was fourth and longer, but I'd have gone for a couple of those. But, you know, overall, Davis Mills did a little bit of what he could do, and they put up a decent fight. But, man, they are playing with at least one, if not two, hands tied behind their back.
Yeah, they really are. And there was a point in the second half, Chad, where I was worried for Davis Mills' health because Carolina realized, oh, we don't really even need to call a defense in our defensive backfield. We just need to send six or seven guys at Davis Mills every time, and we're going to connect more often than not. And it felt like in the fourth quarter, there were like three or four hits where he was being sandwiched by two dudes. You saw that absurd incomplete pass that was called, where he's like getting sandwiched and the ball just kind of pops loose.
Right.
One of his guys fell on it, so it's not like it kept a turnover from happening, but I have no idea how the refs called an incomplete pass right there. But I was worried for his life. Fortunately, at the end of it all, after that fourth down play where he got sacked once again, he was on the sidelines trying to be as positive as possible, slapping his offensive lineman on the back of the head, telling him, good job, we'll get him next time. he had his moments in the first half. It could have looked a lot worse, but ultimately, the talent on Carolina's side and the lack thereof on the Texans' side, especially on offense, really shone through.
Didn't throw a pick, and the rating was 95.5, which for that performance, a little surprising to me that it was actually that high. So he did some things. The big story of that game ends up being Sam Darnold. You have been one of those people that have talked about the toxic stain that Adam Gase can leave on football players and football teams, and Sam Darnold has been trying to kind of separate himself from all of that stuff. He looked really good, and the wheels for Sam Darnold, two rushing touchdowns, and not just like, you know, 1 or 2 yard effort. Sam Darnold had, I mean, he ends up 8 carries for 11, but you know, he showed a little bit of stuff.
Sam Darnold was fitting the football into some very tight windows last night, and I continue to be impressed with him this year. Although he didn't have any throwing touchdowns, obviously he runs a couple in, and I think we're seeing what Sam Darnold is capable of at that position now that he's out from under the thumb of the QB screamer. Adam Gase no longer in control there. Sam Darnold starting to flourish in an offense where they not only value trying to develop the quarterback, but they do a better job of calling plays from series to series. Joe Brady looks so comfortable as an NFL play caller, even without his best weapon back there for most of this game with Christian McCaffrey. Thought Chuba Hubbard did some nice things. The other running back, Freeman, looked okay too, but they leaned a little bit heavier on that passing attack to get up and down the field. Boy, DJ Moore is turning into a top flight number one wide receiver in this league, Chad.
Yeah, guy that went to Maryland, DJ Moore. 8 catches, 126. He's wearing a single digit this year, so you may need to reset your brain on him. Remember, he used to wear like an 82 or something. Now he's rocking like a 3 or a 5.
Yeah, I think it was a 12.
Or a 2. No, he's wearing 2 now, right?
I think it was a 12 last year, and it's a 2 now. And that took me some time because I have a weird man crush on DJ Moore from watching him operate in Austin a few years ago. I've mentioned this on the air a couple times in the last month. I probably overvalue what he is as a wide receiver. Took him on my fantasy team this year, but I've watched him a lot these last few years, and I think he's starting to turn into that guy now as well. And you know what Joe Brady's going to do when he has talent at wide receiver? Mm-hmm. He is going to find ways to get that guy the football.
He got 12 targets to him. Terrace Marshall, I think, is going to be really good for him. He got 4 catches, and I can't wait. If I'm a Carolina fan, I'm so excited about what they could do with Tommy Trimble. He was so versatile at Notre Dame. He could do a lot of different things.
Well, you saw him take the touchdown run on that jet sweep last night.
They got him a little catch. Yeah, right. They got him the catch, and then, like you said, they got him the touchdown rush as well. So Carolina 3-0. The last two times Carolina starts 3-0, they went to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
And lost the game. I know those things don't technically matter, but that's why I get so interested in the very beginning of an NFL season. Even the just the beginning of it can tell you something. And if you could say the last three times, that other time they went to the championship game, I think, way back when they played Jacksonville. Would have been with, was that Kerry Collins quarterbacking them back in the day?
Yes.
I think it was all the way back to that. So definitely keep an eye on the Carolina Panthers. It may not just be the Bucks that you got to worry about in the NFC South.
I was just about to say, remember 4 weeks ago when we were talking about the NFC South being pretty good with Tampa, with New Orleans, with Atlanta, and then Carolina bringing it up the rear? Looks like those other three teams have flipped now, and it's a Tampa and potentially Carolina race to see who can win that division.
Thanks to the first weekend, the Tampa Saints games are really interesting now if Winston and those guys can play to that level. And now the Tampa Carolina games become really, really interesting as that division goes on. So that's how the week started in the NFL. We also told you the story of how the NFL playoffs will slightly change. Before that, let me get you a couple texts. Specs text line 3-3-7-3-7-7-6. Somebody says it was microfractures in his knees for Greg Oden. Okay, appreciate that. This one says, I've dated a few ballerinas. All right, now you're just bragging. And their feet are all jacked up. Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's terrible. I'm sure it's awful to deal with the bad feet when you're dating a ballerina. Yes, yeah. I'm sure that's awful.
Yeah.
Thank you for that weird, humble brag. Like you're making it, oh, my God, guys. I've dated these ballerinas, and let me tell you, their feet are ugly. Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I feel bad for you there, Ted. Thanks.
Yeah, what they lack in good-looking feet, they make up for in flexibility.
I mean, come on, man. All right, I would assume you have them wear the ballet shoes the entire time anyway. Why would their feet ever... Anyway.
Especially if you have a geisha fetish.
That's a whole nother issue. Did we say that out loud? Okay. So, Trey, the NFL wild card weekend extending to Monday night. Give me a quick thought on that before the break. Like it, don't like it, don't care.
I'm not crazy about it because it is a quicker turnaround for whichever team wins, having to get ready for that next round game. I'm guessing against an opponent that had a first round bye. Like, I think if nothing else, you need to make sure whoever's playing that Monday night game is playing a team that also played that wild card weekend. Because otherwise you have a team going on less than normal rest.
You're
playing
saying
against a team that's been off for 2 weeks.
Okay, you're saying they don't need to, the winner doesn't need to then go on to play a bye team.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably fair. That's how I always think about it that way too. I'm all about that. Make sure it's competitively as even as you can get it. How will you make sure that if a team finds out, hey, we're in the Monday night wild card game, how do you make sure that's not a terrible thing?
You know what? I don't like the Monday night thing. I like all these playoff games happening on Saturday and Sunday. I wish they wouldn't do this.
And here's the other thing, Trey.
That's sacrilege to say I want football on less nights a week. I'm sorry. It's the playoffs. I don't need it on Monday night.
I'll be selfish here. I love NFL playoff games when I know I don't have to work the next day.
Great call.
So more on Saturday is better for me.
Yep.
Than giving me a game on some Monday. When I read this, it didn't get me all excited. No. I thought, oh, I lost the triple. Where's my Saturday triple header?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of liked it last year. That sort of made me sad. So I'm with you. I'm not exactly thrilled about that news, but that is going to happen in the wild card round. So pay attention to that if you're an NFL fan.
Maybe this isn't a great option either, because then these two teams would be playing on short rest for their first playoff game. But what about like a Friday night game?
It's fine.
I'd like Friday night better than Monday night.
By the time you get there, well, you got high school playoffs maybe going on, right?
No,
it's done by then.
Those will be over
with
by then.
You're right, that's done. All right, so keep an eye on that. We'll obviously talk more NFL and college football with our two degenerates, Brandon Lang at 105 and Sammy P at 205. Up next, speaking of degenerates, the crap bag has the thoughts of the Scottish guy, plus one of my favorite old dudes in sports has a birthday this weekend. I got to give him a little love on the horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
We are rolling through a Friday. We got Brandon Lang coming up at 105, Sammy P at 205. Our Coors Light six-pack picks are coming up at 1:30. Isaiah Collier, nice enough to produce for us today. What do you got, Isaiah?
This is three times dope, funky divisions.
Nice.
That's what I was going to guess.
I was not going to guess three times dope. I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes I get lucky. Last time Isaiah produced and I was able to get the MC light, I felt pretty good about myself. But if I don't know, I don't know. Yesterday, he brought some Laura Branigan. And when he said Laura Branigan, I went, oh, yeah, there's a chance that name would have popped in my head. But I didn't have it.
Never heard that name.
Hell, I missed Hart earlier.
Excuse me,
I
mean, never heard that name before yesterday.
Sometimes you miss.
You're off your game today not getting Hart. That's surprising.
I know. I felt terrible. I know the song, and I thought I was right there, thought I was being clever, and I missed it. I went with McEnroe's wife, and it was Ann Wilson. Dadgummit. Mixed up my brunettes there. All right, more music from Isaiah coming up. Brandon Lang comes up at 105. Right now, let's get into the crap bag, shall we?
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
All right, if it's Friday before a Texas football game, we got a little Scottish guy for you. Crap bag brought to you by AV Consultations. Get that audiovisual setup you've always wanted, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. Here's your Scottish guy before the Texas Tech game. Let's go.
Well, this could be the last time. This could be the last time. Maybe the last time. I don't know. Oh, no. Oh, no! Or the lawyers can't figure it all out, and we'll see each other in Lubbock next year for another Big 12 clash. Oh, goody. Can't wait. Attention all lovers of the burnt orange and followers of Bevo. The events in the mountains of Hickville may have taken your mind off of it, but we now enter the Big 12
butthurt, irate 8 portion of the season. Whether it's one more time or a few more times, these teams will not forget, forgive, or give in. So, Coach Sark, pay attention. You have to win this game by a lot. Not for style points or confidence, but because this yoked up, blind as a bat, if you like my biceps, you should see my triceps group of officials are looking for reasons to call stuff against you, even if their tiny little brains won't admit it. Just ask old Chucky Strong about how it can happen, even at DKR. Now to the SEC. Can we get a little love, Birmingham? Come on, pull some strings for your new blue blood. So you put the next schedule out in September? No big meetings with the Big 12, AAC, and TV people? You had all the commissioners in one room this week, and you did nothing but stop playoff expansion by letting the Pac-12 take control? Well played. Take notes, my burnt orange kiddies. Looks like our new daddy will, at the very least, not be a helicopter parent. Last question. It just means more what? All right, with Bijan, Roshan, and the DC Flash, the Tortilla Twits are gonna tackle like it's 1996. UT-62. Let's get real. Tech is tech. I've heard the promises before. Three. This is SGSAME.
Scottish guy spot on as always, Chad. You know, he brings up something interesting that we haven't talked about all week. I think we discussed it in preseason, but I am concerned, less so for Oklahoma, but that Texas and Oklahoma are going to get shafted by conference officials all season long, and that would really begin this weekend.
I specifically think it could be an issue on the road, but let's watch it. They're both at home this weekend.
Yeah.
West Virginia comes in, Texas Tech comes in. Let's just see how that plays out with the officiating in the Big 12. If you want to catch the Scottish guy again, you can go to hornfm.com. Go to the Shirts and Skins page. Check out all the Scottish guys from the year. You can check out the show podcast. If you missed the crazy discussion we had earlier in the week that that started one area and ended up in witches and it was all over the place, check that out. We'll throw the Brian Jones interview up for you very soon as well. And at hornfm.com, if you missed yesterday afternoon when a fan walked up to Rod Babers and said, "Are you Snoop Daniel?" You can go check that out at hornfm.com as well.
Okay, I saw that, and that was amusing.
Dude, you know Kevin Dunn better than anybody in this building. You guys are not just work folk. You are actual friends. You know that he does not fake laugh.
Oh, yeah.
There's no fake emotions with Kevin Dunn. That when I heard that laugh on the air, I was like, oh, that's magical stuff. When you can get that laugh out of Kevin, it is so legit. And his entertainment value and Rod's the look on Rod's face. Go watch it. Shout out to Derek and the crew for getting that Twitch feed, because we are on Twitch now at hornfm.com. Rod's face is priceless. It's so good.
I feel bad for anybody who gets mistaken for somebody else, but especially in a situation like that.
I know.
Where it's one black guy getting mistaken for the other black guy.
Say, we don't all look the same.
I know.
We it's don't just, all look the same.
I know.
It's a shame.
It was a bunch of high school kids, though, or middle school kids, so maybe it's a little bit more understandable. I don't know.
And also at hornfm.com, we did put up both bios, so you can click on them and see the two pictures. You can see that they are two distinct human beings, if you'd like to.
Oh, they do look very different.
Yeah, they really do.
The body type, the hair, the face. I mean, there is nothing similar about those guys except a general skin tone.
That is fantastic.
Do better, middle schoolers.
Do better. All right, speaking of do better, this guy's been doing better for years. Real quick, let me throw a happy birthday to one of my favorite old guys in sports. The whole thing is that once you get to a certain age, you can't do it anymore. But when it comes to Hubie Brown, screw that. He's going to be 88 years old tomorrow, and he still nails. He still teaches me basketball every time he breaks a game down. God love you, Hubie Brown. My favorite, I think pound for pound, game for game. Isaiah, tell me if this is crazy. I think he's my favorite basketball analyst, period. Just pound for pound, moment for moment. I'm a Hubie guy. Am I crazy?
You're not crazy. I'm a Doris Burt guy.
Doris is great.
If I had a backup Hubie, I would call
Hubie.
I love
him. Okay, and I'm glad.
Is Hubie still on top of it?
Yes.
Even in 2021? I mean, 20 years ago, he was the guy.
I'm telling you, you know me. I'm keeping up on these things. I'll tell you when it's starting to fray.
Okay.
I haven't really heard a lot of it starting to go. Those stats are still there. The info's still there. He knows the game. I feel like he's still with it. You brought up Doris. Here's my question. Do you think we are going to allow the talented females in sports to get there if they want to? Will there be an 88-year-old Doris Burke one day sitting by the court breaking it down like she does? That's an incredible crossover. Like, do you think we will allow it?
What Hubie sounds like?
Not exactly. Will Ramona Shelburne be able to report till she's 60, 70, 80 years old?
Well, Ramona probably not to 80.
Well, why not? Ramona's not known for her looks now.
Well, yeah, but
she's just known for the work.
She's known for the work, but also the heaviest among us don't live to 80.
Oh, how dare you. Okay, so don't worry. She can find rice cakes. So, but like with Hubie Brown, it's about the work with him. Hubie is a ghoul of a human being. He's been ugly for years, but he knows basketball.
Jeez.
That's what's beautiful. He's
taking shots at the guy on his birthday. By the way, you are on the clock for the next 2 weeks with Hubie Brown.
How dare you? No, I love Hubie Brown.
You just said he was ugly.
Yo, Hubie's Jerry Curl in the 80s, fire. When he was with the Hawks, yeah. Coaching Dominique Wilkins.
I'm telling you,
couldn't
man.
Be better.
He kept that for a little while when he got into broadcasting, too. It was like those shots that they were showing next to the court before games where guys were talking about the keys for the game. Hubie looked fantastic in the 1990s.
If I could marry ESPN and TNT's coverage, what I would do is take the halftime, pre-halftime and post-game of TNT, but I want the game broadcast of ESPN because I get Doris and I get Hubie.
That's all you need.
TNT doesn't have bad teams doing games, but it's not as good to me.
Oh, I've been waiting for Mark Jackson to get a coaching job so we can get Doris Burke in there for the longest.
True.
Exactly. All right, so happy birthday to Hubie. He hits 88 tomorrow. Hits the old Drew Pearson tomorrow. So happy birthday to Hubie. Up next, it is the one and only Brandon Lang of BrandonLang.com. He's also the host of a podcast you may want to check out, The Best Damn Sports Betting Pod, period. I got to give Brandon his love because if I don't, he'll probably yell at me. But he had some nice picks last week. We'll see what he's thinking this week for college and the pros. Longhorns -9? Does he want any part of that? We'll find out on The Horn.